Welcome to our FA Leagues and Clubs podcast, looking at the topic of money matters. Throughout the season, we've been delivering a number of webinars on a variety of topics, ranging from community engagement to marketing and communications. But with the return of the Premier League back on our screens and the restrictions of football activity easing, we wanted to continue to still share important information, just in a more convenient way for you. The first podcast series of its kind for league and club volunteers will look at the topic of money matters, where over the next 4 weeks we'll cover a basic overview of club finances, the way in which to manage money, how to work within budgets and taxes which clubs should be aware of. Each podcast will be shared with those who have registered their interest every Wednesday at 8 p.m. For anyone who is listening to this on another channel and hasn't signed up to receive these podcasts direct, please visit www.thefa.com/get-involved/player/club-and-leagues. So by way of introduction, my name is Danielle and I am the National Club Services Manager here at the Football Association. And I'm delighted today to be joined by James from Sporting Asset and Derek Pearson, one of our FA Club consultants, but also a previous chairman of a youth club in Essex. James, I'll start with you. I know that you've been on our two previous podcasts, but as a small introduction, can you just introduce who and what Sporting Asset does, and in particular, what your role is with the company?
Sure. Thanks, Danielle. Hello again. Yes, yeah, so I am a senior consultant at Sporting Assets. At Sporting Assets, we work across different sports, including some football projects, and we work with governing bodies, we work with funders, but spend most of our time working with clubs and organisations, and working particularly with often volunteer run committees who will be looking at feasibility of facility projects or managing the assets and operations that they currently have. So budgets are particularly important really to their survival, and it's also in my previous job been a real feature because I spent a lot of time working in particularly semi-professional football, and it's very easy for a budget to get away from a club at that level. So yeah, something I'm very interested in and looking forward to today.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. And Derek, I know today you'll be talking with your FA club consultant hat on, but also as a grassroots volunteer who's been involved in the game for many years. Do you want to give a small overview of your role as a consultant here with us at the Football Association, as well as your time with Forest Glade Youth, now more recently known as Hashtag United?
Yes, thanks, Danielle. I got involved in grassroots football 28 years ago now, where we started the club with nine boys, which has now expanded into 600 members right across the piece, really, from mini football to right through to adult football, etc. And I've chaired that club through that process, and as Danielle mentioned, we're now going through a merger with two senior clubs locally. And I'm sure budgeting really is going to be quite key in the next year or so when we bring these three balance sheets together. I also got involved with the FA just over a year ago when I was invited to join the team as a consultant. And I've really enjoyed working with clubs outside of the Forest Glade environment to actually understand how different clubs are managed. And my role really is to try and help them over the line with certain things. And I'm really enjoying that role with the two clubs I'm working with.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. And thanks again for joining us on our third podcast. So those listeners today have joined us, hopefully, for information on budgeting within your club. I think it's really important to say at this stage that neither myself or any of my guests on this series of Money Matters work in the finance industry professionally. So all the information we are sharing with you today is basic terminology and processes with some added club experiences. So if you do need any further information, you should look to source this from the relevant professional services. So without further ado, let's get started on the topic of introduction of budgeting. But before we get onto that topic, James, can you just give us a quick overview of what we covered on our last podcast of managing your money?
Yeah, so managing our money, the responsibilities that you have as a committee member or a director, which might depend on whether you're incorporated or not. It also then looked at more the internal controls and best practice that you can put in place. So, and that covered everything from physically handling the cash to things like making sure we've got the right signatories, segregation of duties, and also thinking about areas where the committee, I suppose, can make informed decisions on the financial information available, which leads us nicely to budgeting and forecasting. So worth probably listening into that one if you can before this, because it flows on nicely.
Brilliant. So you've teed yourself up nicely, James. What are we covering today, and what are some of the main things that our listeners will get out of the podcast?
Okay, great. So as Danielle said before, this again, like with the others, is pitched at, it's hopefully an uncomplicated overview for committee members. So, we're not trying to tell accountants what they already know. We're just trying to really perhaps demystify a little bit, but upskill or help the confidence of committee around the importance of a club budget, and also having that confidence to contribute to preparing it, finally in terms of reviewing it and also I suppose understanding the process and how to do it well, because ultimately it's the sort of thing where with delegation of duties at committee level, you might be responsible for an area of the budget, so all the better if you can if you've been involved in setting it, or at least you understand how it's come together.
So James, what is a budget in simple terms?
Okay, so budget is it's an estimate of the expected income and expenditure for a future period. So it's typically a year, I suppose it might be a season for a club. Ideally it's produced before you start that period. So you've got probably 2 or 3 months planning to pull it together. It's used to plan ahead and help make decisions, and then provides the committee or the board with a way of tracking how you're doing during the year. In terms of its importance, I mean, critically important, particularly given the what we've just seen. A budget tends to be more static, but it tends to be set in place for that year. But equally, there are times where, a pandemic, for example, requires you to change it and look at it again. It's important because it will help identify in advance where there might be a problem, so perhaps an income stream's underperforming, or you're spending too much in an area against what you assumed would happen. It's critical. It allows you to be proactive, plan ahead. I mentioned briefly that, I've kind of worked with a lot of semi-professional football clubs. It's very quickly to get behind and lose control of a budget, particularly when, you're paying players or, other events such as bad weather. I won't go as far as the pandemic because I think that's a difficult one to predict, but, it allows you to have more control, and you need it in certain businesses, because a lot of the clubs on here will not have huge reserves, and you know, we need to keep up to date and up to speed. You know, catching up with 2 or 3 months of poor performance or a problem is going to be really difficult. Also, yeah, where there's a surplus, it allows you to think through how you might use that. And also, you know, I think it actually helps to set out at the start of the year how, you know, if there are areas you want to prioritize and do, it just by having it in the budget, even if it's a new thing or a, you know, a new program, it can sometimes refocus. It's, you know, the fact that, well, we decided we're going to do this, there's some budget available, let's go ahead and do it. And also, for some people who love, you know, it's probably the same people that love a tick list or whatever, it can be a motivational tool, really, how you're performing against budget, having targets, you know, it can really work. You know, and that might be in certain areas, you know, in terms of, you know, the fundraising income or membership subs or whatever it might be. If you can break it down into and get people to, you know, delegate responsibility, there's just clarity on how you're performing.
Now, I think it's really important that clubs and leagues do look at their budgeting. And Derek, I know that on the first podcast you mentioned around the importance of having all of the different elements of finance linked to a business plan. Can you just allude a little bit more on that, especially as we're now talking about budgets and plans, and we're very much approaching a new season, albeit probably looking different, but we're certainly on the right tracks. How does it all link in together, and how have you as a club committee member linked in kind of your budgeting and financial elements within your business plan?
Yeah, I think it's important you do that. It just doesn't work if you run a budget or a forecast in isolation from your strategic planning and your development plan. So let me use an example here of linking into our development plan will be a cost of upgrading our facilities, as an example, and that cost will then be into the budget. Let's say we've agreed to spend £10,000 to upgrade our facilities. Then we would engage the person responsible for that piece around the committee. So it could be the facilities manager or the groundsman, and we'll say, well, with your agreement, guys, because they were part of the sort of business plan as well. You know, we're going to allocate £10,000 to that section to actually manage for this year or this season. And they would then update the treasurer how much they're spending, and the committee then can monitor what's actually happening in that particular line of the budget. So I think you're gaining two things there. You're allocating responsibility. You're also getting people to feel as though they're part of the budget process. And they're not just being told that this is the number that you've got to manage for the rest of the season. So I think, you know, you cannot run a budget without linking it into that strategic thinking.
And it's a really important element that you both touched on the last podcast, and hopefully the listeners today have listened to that. But you do quite openly both speak about the importance of getting people involved in managing money and the whole financial element of the club to make it everyone's responsibility. But more importantly, make sure that the relevant people are across the relevant budgets. And we'll allude a little bit more to that in due course. So, James, what's some of the kind of processes when looking at creating a budget?
Sure. OK. And a lot of these really cement what you both just discussed there. So you know, we've got working out your current income and expenditure is obviously a great start, and you know, thinking through, okay, well, that's how we are now. Is anything likely to change in the future? You know, it tends to be, you know, assuming the club's been running for a while and broadly speaking is playing at the same places and doing, you know, only adding one or two teams or whatever, that's, and obviously, you know, you've got all that history, so use it to your advantage. It gets more difficult if, you know, suddenly you're moving to a new facility or there's a real new venture, as it were. So you've got that past. So start off with what's your current income and expenditure. And then as you talked about that, you know, Derek mentioned maybe you've got plans to, you know, particularly upgrade the ground next year or whatever, or is there a business plan? Is there a strategic plan there that's saying we're going to do this, we want to do that? Well, you know, probably you're going to need some degree of resource or extra budget allocation to do that. So make sure that it links to what your, if there's any other documents or your mission or your objectives, to make sure that it fairly links in, that they need to talk to each other. So link it to your club's plans for future. Are there any other new income or expenditure areas to consider? Again, as we said, involve the right people. And you know, there's nothing worse than kind of, it's the same, you know, really with a business plan, but there's nothing worse than being on a committee or whatever and almost being told, well, this is what you've got to do. You want to be involved in there, helping to shape and create whatever that target would be. And that's the same really with a budget. So when you're thinking about income targets, but also, you know, expenditure in that area, people will take more ownership of it and they'll be more interested, and they've got all the knowledge to help create that budget. So involve the right people and it should become more accurate and easier to delegate. And then making sure that it's broken down into appropriate categories and I suppose amounts, so that you really do get a feel for you know, if different components of an area are doing well or badly. So, you know, again, maybe thinking about that Derek's example about the ground improvement, maybe there's a particular part of that that's on budget or under budget, but maybe, I don't know, the spend on seed or maintenance or whatever is over. So you need to have it to a level where you can see, you know, what, you know, where you're either under or over performing. So monthly amounts is typical, and kind of grouping it maybe with headings that can be expanded so that then you can get into the detail if you need to. And yeah, you know, I think we've already mentioned it really, but involving, you know, different committee members, other volunteers, you know, maybe junior team managers, different leads in the club for those budget areas. If you've got facilities, then obviously, you know, if you've got a bar or you know, other people that are working, you know, in and around those any of those income areas, really just involve them because they've got that knowledge. So it's worth starting it early enough so that, you know, you can get these opinions and you can shape it and learn from what happened last year.
It's really good, James, that you mentioned around some questions to ask and getting the right people involved. Are there any common questions that those committee members can ask when a budget's created, or even those external that might just want to ask a question around the budgets that have been created by the club? Are there any typical common key questions to ask?
I think it's... as I say, the obvious thing is to start with what you've done in the last year, and then think about has much changed and how you've performed against those numbers. So that's always a starting point, you know, and hopefully you've got accurate information that then you can see, you know, whether you're, you know, because you might, you know, naturally in life you have people that are probably more you know, who think that you can, you know, reach higher targets, and others that are perhaps more conservative. You know, I'm thinking around things like commercial targets and fundraising targets. You know, if being able to challenge those, I think, is, you know, not to stop them, because it's great, there's that enthusiasm, and budgets are there to be broken and changed, but A, having the information from previous years, but also maybe some other benchmark information, maybe from other clubs or other relevant, I don't know, sports facilities or local facilities, because you know you want to be able to politely challenge, if you know, because ultimately this is something you're going to work to for the next year, and if your expenditure is linked to income that doesn't look realistic, you're going to have problems. So you kind of normally would start with a conservative position. I'm not sure that quite answers your question, Danielle, but
No, I think the fact that you've kind of referred to looking back at previous years and last year's budget is obviously a great point and a great way to kind of ask the right questions. Derek, we find ourselves moving forward to the new season in a very different time than where we were kind of a few seasons ago. So James's point at looking at last year's budget is still relevant, but as a club, how are you looking at your budget moving forward, knowing that COVID has probably had some type of impact on your club?
Yeah, if I'm absolutely honest, we didn't change a budget linked to COVID for the previous season, although it certainly had an impact, particularly when you're paying rent, etc., and your return on income is not as high as it should be. It certainly taught us a few lessons for next season in terms of making sure that you do provide a provision for something you probably don't know about. Even if it's, you know, £5,000 you stick to one side and say, if something occurs like COVID, which was you know, something I doubt if anyone had in their budget, you prepare him for events that you may not know exactly what's going to happen, but you've got some contingency in there. And I think also ensuring that your supplier, whoever that may be, or where your expenditure line is regularly reviewed in terms of inflation. So if you're paying a particular item each year and it's £5,000, always put in something to your budget that will give you, you know, a bit of comfort that if it does go up by 2-3%, that your budget is then at the right level. And that needs to be continually looked at every year.
And just say on that, actually, I think that's a really pertinent point, because, you know, if there are groups, for example, that say, you know, maybe got 3G pitch and they've got that sinking fund, I know it's a common error, really, understandable perhaps, is the cost of replacing that carpet over the life cycle of maybe 10, 15 years, you know, the actual price of replacing it goes up from what current prices are. And it, you know, over that period, it can be, you know, getting up to close to £100,000. So, you know, but even for a smaller club, just, you know, that kind of life cycle replacement, maybe on equipment and things, you know, the equipment will change, it will go up in price. So if you can have a line in there to firstly reflect that there's that replacement, but secondly, if you can reflect, at least do it conservatively, because probably, you know, not always, but in some cases the prices will go up.
Yeah, the other thing I'll add to that is if you have an event in your budget that, let's say, generates some money for you, and it's could be linked to the weather.
Yeah.
You know, you're running a competition and for whatever reason the weather lets you down, and you've got in your budget, you know, an income amount, you know, perhaps you can consider insurance on that event. That may protect that amount in your budget. It may not be worth doing that, but it's just worth going through that that process of analysing to see whether it's almost going to be there or not. It's just a way of rechecking.
Yeah.
They're both really, really good points there, and kind of flexibility and check-in seems to be kind of two strands that come out there. And clubs will hopefully be going through their budgeting process now. James, how can clubs monitor their budget? and make sure that they're hopefully still on track against what they kind of originally popped in at the start of the season or whenever they kind of created their budget.
Yeah, no, I think monitoring the budget is obviously absolutely critical. And as I said before, you know, for some clubs, particularly if they're paying players and things, and you know, the budget can get away from you very quickly. So, and also, yeah, you know, going to Derek's point, if you're relying on sort of volatile fundraising income, you know, so it might be, say, an event that's cancelled by weather, or it might, you know, maybe like a dinner type auction. They're things that are difficult, unless you've done them before, to know what you're going to receive. Whereas, you know, if you've got a direct debit set up for a lottery, you've probably got, you know, a lot more certainty it's coming in. So critical that the budget is monitored. So, you know, ideally, again, it depends on the size of the club, but ideally sort of reporting monthly or at the very least quarterly on actual results against, you know, the budget that you set out for the year. And then, you know, this is where it you know, ideally, you know, where you can shorten committee meetings, but also help people that aren't as perhaps number literate, is just use some simple colour coding to show the variance. So maybe you'd say, you might pick out the biggest items, which are the biggest risk, and code those, and you might show, say, I don't know, 10 or 20% variance and colour code those, just using a simple spreadsheet. And yeah, a little bit of commentary always helps as well, because there might be very good reasons why, you know, taking that weather example, it might be that actually three matches were cancelled that month, or and you're very, it just means that they're going to catch up later in the season. So a little bit of commentary always helps, just to inform the decision making. And although it typically is a static thing that you set out for the start of the year, you know, you can update it, particularly if something significant takes place.
So James, have you got any top tips for monitoring the budget? You obviously, yeah, mentioned the opportunity to add commentary and bits and pieces. That sounds like a good way to kind of monitor it and keep it flowing. What other top tips have you got for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think I sort of hinted at it there. Definitely proportionality. We've all probably been in that committee meeting where you know, the price of the biscuits has taken up half an hour, and actually, you know, there's maybe a huge gap that is, you know, needs addressing and hasn't had as much attention. So, you know, which are your biggest areas of income and expenditure, and also where's the biggest risk? So, you know, going back to that point about, you know, if you're doing an auction for the first year, as opposed to you've run it for the last 10, you know, that in itself is, you know, going to be a big high risk item. So it just requires a bit more attention and maybe mitigating other ways. And as I said, the commentary helps, but just thinking about the performance, is it timing or is it a real trend? You know, there's different parts of a year where things tend to happen, you know, where maybe sponsorship income is higher, perhaps, or, you know, certain income that comes in from membership takes place. So, you know, the more historic stuff you've got is great, because then you can, particularly for newer members of the committee, explain that this tends to happen at this time, you know, so that people feel more informed. And probably the biggest one is be prepared to act. It's difficult sometimes, because you might be going up against people who've got absolutely the right intentions, but for whatever reason, they're area of the business, or you know, their program activity is not producing, you know, and it might be for very good reasons, is not bringing that income that you predicted, or maybe if you are paying players, you know, the manager is constantly pushing for a bigger and bigger budget. Yeah, these are all typical things that we know happen, and sadly, being on the committee, as much as, you know, that there's some great moments, you've got to sometimes be the people that say no and act on it, because yeah, it can get away from you, and you know, understandably, but sadly, if it does, sometimes committees then get quite insular and defensive, protective, because they're trying to address these issues, and people on the outside, you know, maybe who could help, you know, aren't informed or aren't asked to help, and problems can occur. So just, yeah, be prepared to step up and act, you know, and change things if they need to be changed.
I think it's a really good point, James, and it's been something that you and Derek throughout the last two webinars really have kind of really mentioned around the need to act, the need to involve the right people, the need to have kind of regular opportunities to review, reflect and be flexible. So thank you very much for that. I'm just going to end on a few top tips, hopefully just summarising all the really good stuff that James and Derek have pulled together. So first top tip is look to prepare a budget ahead of the next year. Schedule it within a few months before the year starts, just so you've got that plan of action ahead. And hopefully everyone is aware of that. Involve key people at the club. Give the right people the right ownership, and be realistic with budget. For some, COVID won't have had too much of an impact. For others, it will. So there may need to be some realistic kind of lenses on your budget to make sure that you can still operate, not only next year, but in future years to come as well. And the final one is to compare actual results to the budget as the year progresses. So again, that continual monitoring, just to make sure that you're on track and you're aligned to what you originally set out to do. What we don't want to see is clubs not being in existence in years to come. We want as many clubs offering an opportunity for all to play the game. So that just leads me to say a huge thank you to Derek and James again for your time today. That is podcast 3 of 4. So it's a great start. Lots of information in all three. Again, lots of information today and lots of terminology for you listeners at home or wherever you are, to digest and take back to your potential relevant committees. All the information presented will be available on a guidance document in due course. For anyone wanted to further extend their knowledge on this topic, head over to Club Matters, which is under the banner of Sport England, where they have a host of resources, guidance and workshops which will help volunteers to further extend their knowledge in this area. Next week, we will be exploring tax and how that may affect your football club and what different taxes you may need to be aware of. Just leaves me to say a huge thank you again to James and Derek for their time today. Thank you for those who are listening, and we look forward to welcoming you all next week. Take care.